Chapter 5, Galatians, the fifth chapter, and you did not get a set of notes today. I thought about it. I have some that I could have gave it to you, but I felt like time might be pressed, and so let's just see what the Holy Spirit would have us get into in the little bit of time that we do have. Galatians chapter 5. This is the 10th part in our series that's been entitled Managing Life God's Way. This is part 10. We've done it from almost the beginning of the year. Managing Life God's Way. There are so many different things that we could talk about with this. Managing has the idea of letting God have control, letting God show us which way to go and show us what to do. We started off by learning the need to surrender, the need to be surrendering every part of our lives to God. And if there's an area of our life that still needs to be surrendered to Him, to be watchful of that and to do so by faith and say, God, I give that to you by faith. Amen. We talked about with that the dominion mandate and the fact that you and I as believers have been given dominion over the power of the enemy, that we are to take authority in the name of Jesus, that we are called by God, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, to reign as kings in life. Not to have life reigning over us, but to reign as kings in life. And not by anything that we have made ourselves, but by the grace of Almighty God. He has given us the name of Jesus. He has given us authority in that name, and we are to reign as kings in life and not let life rule and reign over us. Can you say amen? And then with that, we talked about managing life God's way in the context of prayer and how important prayer is. And with that idea of prayer, how to be led by the Spirit of God. If we're going to manage life God's way, we're going to need to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so we talked a little bit about the guidance of the Holy Spirit and how we might receive that guidance. Now, last week, we began talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And if we're going to, again, manage life God's way, we've got to know about bearing fruit, don't we? And we talked about the idea that fruit means to, it means this. It could have been translated as harvest. It could have been translated as produce, like we receive produce from the produce department in the grocery store or whatever. It also means that which originates from something and has a nature or the DNA of that which it originates from. And so with that in mind, let's just read our text for this morning in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It reads this way. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now notice again it states in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is in the singular form, and so therefore there is really only one fruit of the Spirit, and I propose to you that fruit of the Spirit, which many expositors agree with, is really the first thing mentioned, and that is love. Everybody say love. All right, so the fruit of the Spirit is love. And everything mentioned thereafter is an attribute of love. Would you agree with me that when you walk the love walk, you're going to experience joy in your life? Amen? And so someone once said that joy is love's strength. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so many have said that joy is the strength of love. There is a strength involved when we walk in the joy of the Lord. And the more we walk the love walk, the more we're going to experience the joy of God in our lives. And then peace is well, and all the other things, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, gentleness, and God willing, we'll talk about all those things to a certain extent. But the main thing we want to talk about this morning a little bit more is this subject, this idea, this principle called love, because that is really what the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Amen? It's about love and a special kind of love. You remember if you were with us last week that we talked about the fact that there are four Greek words, only two found in the Bible, but there are four Greek words that are possible words for the word love. There is the word eros, which we get the word erotic from, and has to do with sexual kind of love. There is phileo, which is in the Bible. It's a brotherhood kind of love. We understand Philadelphia, phileo, the city of brotherly love. Isn't that right? That kind of love, though, is based mainly on whether or not a person pleases you in a variety of ways. And so it's a conditional kind of love, phileo kind of love, though we need to have that, but we need to have more than that phileo kind of love, that brotherly kind of love. We need to have more than just that. Then there's a Greek word called storge, which is family kind of love. The Bible doesn't use that word, only in the negative, with an A in front of it, kind of like an atheist. An atheist means, that A means no God. They believe in no God. A theist believes in God. They may not believe in the right God, but they're a theist. So an atheist means no God. There is a Greek word, astorge, which means no family love, and that's one of the characteristics characteristics in the last days that there will be a decrease of family kind of love and affection, a natural kind of love. And we see that happening in our day today, where parents are killing their children, children killing their parents, and all sorts of things in between there. There is absolutely indications that the last days are here in that alone, if you will, because of the lack of natural family kind of love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I propose to you and submit to you, really, the idea that Jesus brought a new kind of love. He brought a kind of love that the world had never known. In fact, the word, as many of us are aware of, the word agape or agape is a word that was hardly ever found in Greek writings prior to the New Testament. Once in a while, it would be found in Greek writings, but it's almost as if God preserved that word, agape or agape, simply or particularly for the New Testament and to describe the God kind of love. This God kind of love is a new kind of love. And I submit to you that when families begin to operate in this God kind of love, that family is going to change. I submit to you that when churches begin to operate in this kind of love, that church is going to change. In fact, we're going to talk about a number of things in the time that we have concerning this new kind of love that is the most powerful kind of love and the most powerful kind of life that anybody can live when they walk according to this agape kind of love. Does everybody understand? Understanding me. All right, now let's look at some things, if you don't mind. If you don't mind, let's just remind you of a few things. I mentioned this last week. Some of the great things about the kind God kind of love. The greatest demonstration of this love is the cross. Amen? Jesus' cross. The cross He bore or bore our sins and our sickness on. It is the greatest demonstration of love. We mentioned some of those things. The greatest personification of this love is Christ Himself. He was love in the flesh, wasn't He? He was flesh-wrapped love. When He walked on the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the greatest personification of love is Christ. Number three, the greatest expression of love today is supposed to be the church. In other words, the church are the people. There's a few people that mentioned to me they weren't sure how the church, because they thought the building was the church. How many of you would agree with me? The building is not the church. The building is not the church. The people who are born of the Spirit are the church. Amen? And the people, therefore, who are born of the Spirit are to be what? They are to be the love demonstrators today. Is that not right? And yet, in so many ways, the average person out there would not describe the church as being a place of love. They would not describe church people as being people of love. They would describe church people as being probably judgmental or people against them or whatever the case, bigots, if you will. That would be the description that they would have. And in some ways, maybe that's the picture that truly has been given to them. But I submit to you that that is not a true picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? But yet in so many ways, we need to develop this. We need an awakening pertaining to this love walk. And I think that there ought to be more teaching on love probably than any other subject when you think about it. And I'll mention that and show you why I think that in a few minutes. Now, one of the last things, in fact, I believe it was the last thing that I said to you was the statement that you're going to look at up on the big screen. This is the last thing that we showed you 2 weeks ago. And that was from this book called Love, The Perfect Walk of Faith by Ed Duncan. Many of you might remember this. Notice what it states here. This is powerful. By establishing the commandment of love in John 15:12, Jesus gave us the gateway to a fabulous lifestyle. Love is the lifestyle of heaven. Let's say that together. Love is the lifestyle of heaven. Powerful statement. I encourage you to think about that. By loving one another here on earth, the essence of heaven is brought into our lives. This lifestyle that is being offered is a life in which demons can't touch us, men can't touch us, Satan can't touch us, sin can't hold us in bondage, and no adverse circumstance that comes along will be able to put us under. God's Word says love never fails. We're talking about a lifestyle that's the lifestyle of heaven. You know, the Bible says, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I will, and then we'll repeat it again because it bears repetition. The Bible makes it very clear that God is love, doesn't it? Not love is God. No, we don't make a God out of love in the sense we don't make a God out of any emotion, because that's the way people would interpret that. No, but God is love in the sense that the very essence of His nature is love. Now, if you think about it, many times people are talking about, well, we need a move of God. How many of you have ever heard the expression? I'm sure most, if not all, have heard the expression, we need a move of God. Anybody at all? You know, this is an interactive service where you can say amen. You can fake it as long as you do respond. Amen. How many of you heard the expression, we need a move of God? Anybody ever hear that expression? All right, we need a move of God. I submit to you, though, that if God is love, then if we will move in love, we'll have a move of God. If we'll move out and love people with this agape kind of love, then we're going to experience a move of God in a mighty way. Because really, His love is in us. And if we'll begin to make a determined effort that we're going to walk by this supernatural new kind of love, not human love, not natural kind of love, but a superhuman, new kind of love called the God kind of love, we will have a move of God. Because I believe that it's precipitated upon precipitated upon the love walk. Amen? The more we walk in love, people talk about all the different things, all the different missing ingredients. Let me tell you what the missing ingredient is, the lack of love amongst the church, let alone out there. But the lack of love amongst the church is the missing ingredient that hinders a move of God. All right, now let's go on with some things in this, all right? God's love for you. Let's start off by talking about God's love for you because this is where it all begins, isn't it? God's love for us. More and more people need a revelation of God's love for them. Not just God's love for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or love for children and whatever, and He loves them all. But I'm talking about God's love for you. And you know, John was talking about healing. I'm convinced one of the greatest hindrances, and we all fight for healing. We all fight against sickness, just like we fight against sin. Are you redeemed from sin?
Yes.
Have you ever sinned?
Yes.
But you're redeemed. What's the matter with you? In a similar way, we're redeemed from sickness, but we get attacked with sickness sometimes, don't we? But you know what? It tells us from the Word of God then that we have a right to fight it. We don't have to lie down, roll over and say, all right, have at it, it's part of life. No, it doesn't have to be if we'll fight it just like we fight sin.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we're redeemed from both, isn't that right? Amen. But the whole point is this. I'm convinced that most of us probably would walk in more health and receive more healing in our lives if we really had a revelation of how much God loves us. I mean, really got a revelation of how much God loves us. Because we live in such a dysfunctional society where most of the love that we've ever experienced is based on conditional kind of thinking, where even maybe our parents, we felt loved by them only when we behaved a certain way or whatever. It was a conditional love, perhaps even by our families. And we have this mentality with God. But the more revelation of how much God loves us, the more well we'll be spiritually, soulishly, as well as in body. Don't you believe that? Amen. Because faith works by love. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. First of all, it's because of His love that we are forgiven. I want you to look at the big screen. Some reasons or some things about God's love. The big screen. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. The Amplified Bible says this. Behold, it was for my peace that I had intense bitterness. But you have loved back my life from the pit of corruption and nothingness. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. Notice that. God has loved back my life. God has loved back your life. And He has thrown yours and my sins behind Him. Isn't that good news? All right? He's loved us back. Aren't you glad God loved us back into the family? He loved us back into reconciliation with Him. And so God's love for you and me. Turn with me, if you will, real quickly, and then I want you to hold your place in 1 John after that, because you're going to be going to 1 John periodically, time permitting. But in 1 John, the 4th chapter, I'm so used to you having notes, I'm almost telling you, let's go to the next point in the notes, but I guess you can't. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Are you receiving something from this at all? 1 John, the 4th chapter. Let's look at some things with this real quickly if we can. Let's start with verse 7. It says this. Are you with me? 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, I mentioned this. I'm going to say it again to you, though. The more we love, the more we're going to know God. And you say, well, how does that work? The more we love, the more we're going to know God. Because the more we determine we're going to walk this love walk, there's something about by doing that, we get a revelation of His love for us in a greater way. You want a greater revelation of God's love for you? Begin to love by faith people the way God loves you. And you can do it. We'll talk about how or why we know we can do it, because the Bible tells us we can. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So again, the point being this, that the very essence of God's nature is love. Go back and hold your place. Remember, hold your place in 1 John, because we'll be returning back to there a few times. But go back, if you don't mind, to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. We're going to end right on time, and I believe you're going to be blessed by the time it's all said and done. Never do I want anybody leaving this church and saying, "I didn't get any word today," or "I didn't get anything out of the word today." I believe it's impossible for you to be here and be paying attention and not get anything for you today from the word. Amen? Or any other day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I was reading this afresh yesterday, and it just struck me, and I just want to mention it to you and have you read it yourself in your Bible. Notice what it says, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Are you with me? It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Now, this is very interesting because, again, remember now it mentions that God is the God of love and peace. We saw that God is love in 1 John 4:8. Now, notice now, he says to those believers, those Corinthian believers, he says this. He says, become complete, or he says, mature in the things of God. He says, be of good comfort, be of one mind. One mind means unity, isn't that right? He says, basically, when he says unity, one mind, he's saying, be in unity, be in harmony. One translation, probably the Amplified, says, be in harmony with one another. And then live in peace. And then he says, the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, we know and understand that God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So what does it mean when it says the God of love and peace will be with us when we do those things? It's saying that he will show up. It's saying that he'll make himself very, very real to us. In other words, there's going to be a touch of his presence in our lives when we do what? When we are comforted, receive his comfort, when we are walking in the same mind or in unity with one another. Would you agree with me that as we walk in unity with one another, the God of love and peace is going to show up in our midst? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God responds in that kind of atmosphere. Isn't that right? That unity, that love walk, that peace with one another. Peace is an attribute of love. We saw that from the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And so peace is an attribute of love. So as we walk in peace with one another, then God says, I'm the God of love and peace, and I am going to show up in your midst. Amen. There's something powerful about that, isn't there? See, we've got to want this bad. Now, if we want God to move in our midst, then let's move out in love. Let's be determined we're going to love people with the God kind of love. Amen? And when we do, and you say, well, what does that mean? What is that? Well, I can't teach you everything about love in one setting. We're going to talk about how do we understand and recognize the love of God. What are some of the characteristics of God's love? We'll get to that sometime down the road. Amen? But not today. But the point being, I want to give you or create in you somehow with the help of the Holy Spirit a desire for this love walk. I want to whet your appetite to desire to walk this love walk out. And I think one of the greatest things that ought to whet our appetite for walking this love walk out is the fact that when we do, God shows up. Amen. Amen. And so we'll whet your appetite, and then as we go on, we'll tell you what that represents or what those characteristics are of walking this love walk, all right? And so again, God, the God of love and peace, will be with you. He'll show up. He'll manifest in our midst, all right? God has a great love for you and I. I'm not going to go into all of it, but I want you to write down, if you will, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, where it says that God, so great in his mercy toward us, is that while we were yet sinners, he raised us up together. He quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. All these various things, because so great was his mercy, so great was his love for us, that not only did he save us, but he gave us an inheritance, and he ordained that we receive life, and that we also throughout the ages might be shown his kindness, the scripture says. Throughout the ages, God has a plan for the ages, and one of those plans is that he might show his kindness. Now, again, that's Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. You can read it, but you held your place in 1 John. Go back there, if you will, to the third chapter of 1 John. Everybody doing all right? The third chapter of 1 John. And so it's because of his love that we're forgiven. The essence of God, that's the first point you might want to write down if you can. The essence of God's nature is love. Now next week, God willing, I'll give you a summation of some of this so you'll have it in hand as well. But the essence of God's nature is love. And then another point is God has great love for you and me. Notice now in verse 1 of 1 John 3, are you there? Notice what John says. It's almost like it was inexpressible. It's almost like it was beyond his ability to express in words. He says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now. Everybody say now. And you know, it's so important that we read that word now. Why? Because so many people in the world, they have this idea that we're going to become children of God someday when we die and go to heaven or something like that. But I want you to know that if you've accepted Christ, the moment you've accepted Him, then that moment, and therefore now as well, you are a son or a daughter of Almighty God. And another lie that we'll just dispel, just in case anybody's thinking of that, because you hear it on the television waves all the time or whatever. Not waves, cable now. You hear it all the time, this idea that, well, we're all the children of God. No, they're not. No, we're not. Amen? Hopefully all of us here are, but not every human being's a child of God. Some of them are the child of the devil. That's what the Bible says. In fact, if they don't know Christ, they are. And they may not act like the devil, but if they don't know Christ, they're in His family, if you will. Jesus said in John chapter 8 to the Pharisees, religious folks, He said, you are of your father, the devil. And then states two characteristics they had that were just like the devil. They were liars and murderers. Is everybody hearing me? All right. And so, the children of God. Now, say now. I'm a child of God. Now notice what it says in verse 2 remaining. It says, beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That is a powerful yet mysterious statement there to me. It says that now we're the sons of God, and I don't know about you, but it's implying to me that in the future, there's something greater than being a son and daughter, apparently. Because He says, now we're the children, sons, daughters of God, but now it does not yet appear what we shall be. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. That implies to me there's something even greater than being a son and daughter of God. Don't know what that is, but there's something coming in the future. Amen? But now, we are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. And with that, there's a lot of implications that go along with that as well that we might get to at some point. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17. Remember, you're holding your place in 1 John. John's Gospel, chapter 17. Talking about first and foremost here this morning, God's love for you. God's love for you, John said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Behold what manner, an astounding, a new kind of love. It says here in John's Gospel, chapter 17, let's begin reading here let's start at verse 20. It says this, this is Jesus praying. I love this prayer of John chapter 17, verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone. And this is going to show you and I that this is not just referring to the disciples then, but He's praying for you and I as well. Because notice what it says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. And indirectly, we've all believed on Him through those early disciples' word, because they carried on the message, and it was carried on to someone else, and then to someone else. From generation to generation, it was brought to us, and so we have believed because of them. Is that not right? Because they've taken the gospel. Now notice now, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in us. That's a unity. That's a harmony. That's a peace amongst ourselves. That the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory could have been translated the heaviness of His presence. Glory meant much of the time refers to His presence. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them. Awesome statement. The glory, the presence that You gave Me, I have given them that they may be one just as We are one. And so His presence in us empowers us to be as one. We can't be as one in and of ourselves, but His glory that He's given us empowers us to be in unity with each other. Isn't there right? His presence. How many of you have His presence on the inside of you? The Bible says the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Amen? All right, now it goes on. And the glory, again, verse 22, and the glory which You gave Me, I've given them, that they may be one just as We are one, I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know, notice, that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. This is an awesome statement. I think that we need to get a real revelation of this idea. The Father loves you and me in the same way and to the same degree that He loves Jesus. That's what that scripture says. The Father loves us as or in the same way that He loves Jesus. Imagine that kind of love. That kind of love in the same way. And so how many of you know the Father loves Jesus intensely? He loves you intensely. The Father loves Jesus beyond anything we can imagine. I want you to know God the Father loves you in a way in which you can't even imagine. If you have children, you know how much you love your kids. God loves you more than you love your children. That's an awesome thought when you think about it. Meditate on that. But He has loved you as much as He has loved Jesus. Let's just read on a little bit. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me, and I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it. Notice that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Now, Jesus prayed the prayer that the love by which the Father loved Him would be in His disciples or in His believers. And how many of you believe that God answered Jesus' prayer? Amen. We know in Romans 5:5, the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to understand that you've got the love of the Father in you in order to empower you to love each other, to love others in that same degree. Yep. Now, we grow in that. We walk in that. We believe God for more of that because we still have this flesh to contend with, don't we? We still have some stinking thinking to work out and to get renewed. Is that not right? But yet the capacity to love people as God loves people is on the inside of us. And if we'll determine to grow in that, to meditate on that, to accept that, and to step out in faith in that, I'll tell you, we'll make a difference and the world will know that God sent Jesus and that Jesus is alive because the world will see Him in us. Amen. And until we're doing that, and only to that degree, will the world see Jesus in us. And I submit to you, the world has yet to see Jesus the way God wants Jesus to be seen. Amen? One last passage, and then we'll close for today, and then I'll share some more, lots more, next week. I'd like you just to look, if you don't mind, let me see where I want to go here. To 1 John, obviously. 1 John, the third chapter again. And we'll close with this. 1 John chapter 3. So much in 1 John. I've encouraged people before to read 1 John over and over again and meditate on that. Read it every day. It's only 5 chapters, not that long. But you know what? In order to grow in the love walk, 1 John is a wonderful epistle to roll over and over and over in our minds, to meditate on in order so that it will empower us in a greater way. The Word has power. Amen? Empower us in a greater way to walk this love walk. Notice what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Very important here. Verse 11. Verse 11 of 1 John 3. It reads this way. For this is the message. Say the message. Amen. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I'm going to end with saying this. You know, I don't know about you, but I've heard the faith message. How many of you heard the faith message? Thank God for the faith message. No question about it. I've heard the prosperity message. Some of the prosperity message is accurate and balanced. Other parts of the prosperity message may be a little extreme. But nevertheless, you know, throughout the United States, we get these various messages, if you will, that have their heyday, if you will. And they maybe come and they maybe go, depending upon whether they really are truth. And sometimes during the coming and going, there's a sifting where hopefully by the time it's all said and done, the sifting gets rid of anything that's not of the Word or scriptural. And that which is pure and pure truth remains. Amen? I mean, I've had the faith message. It could be extreme or it could be biblical. Thank God for biblical faith. Amen? And prosperity. I mean, there's a prophetic message. Thank God for biblical prophetic message of the truth of the prophetic ministry. But there's also been extreme. Thank God for the biblical things concerning any of these things. But I want you to know that God says through the Apostle John that there is really the message, one message that really precedes and supersedes every other message. And that is the message that we are to love one another with the love that God has put in our hearts. And based on that idea, don't you think we ought to hear then more about this love walk than the faith walk? Because faith works or is energized by love. Amen? Don't you think based on that we ought to learn more or hear more about the love walk than prosperity? And I would dare say you listen to a lot of Christian television today, you hear a whole lot about prosperity because they need it in order to stay on television. But you hear hardly anything about the walk of love or the message of love. How many of you still love me? You have to on this message. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Say, this is the message. To love one another. And Jesus said it in this way, John 13, 34 and 35. He said that you love one another as I have loved you in the same way. Amen? Would you stand with me and if the worship team would come? We've got a lot more to talk about with this and you know, on my notes, I got halfway through my first page. And so you see why I didn't give you notes. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we just give you glory and honor today. We rejoice in you. Would you lift your hands if you can with me? Oh, we just rejoice in you, Father God. We thank you for your love for us. I pray, Father God, we would indeed get a revelation of your love for us, Father. Oh, that love that's so great and so amazing. What manner of love it is, Father God, that new kind of love, that higher level of loving, Father God, that's unconditional, that's based upon the fact that we're precious in your sight and that alone, Father God. And Father God, we just pray that you would give us a revelation of it, that we might walk in it in a greater way, Father God, because love never fails. And as we walk in love, we will not fail. And to that degree, we walk the love walk is the degree we will not fail in whatever you've had for us to do, Father God. Father God, in the next coming weeks, Father God, as we study this message, this most important message of love, Father God, I pray that you would just cause our minds to be renewed as we meditate on these truths. I pray, Father God, as we've often prayed, that this church would not be known as a church full of faith, not be known as a church full of worship, not be known as a church full of anything more than it's known as a church full of love. Father, when people visit, I pray that the thing they experience more than anything and the thing they talk about more than anything else is not how good the preaching was or how good the music might have been, but I pray that the thing that gets them the most is, oh, I felt loved in that place. I felt God's love in that place, Father, because I know that that's the most important thing, Father. Father, I just thank you and praise you for your goodness. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, everyone in attitude of worship or prayer, if you're here today and you've never experienced God's love, and when I say experience God's love, I mean in a sense that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. I want you to know that God does love you. I want you to know that God cares about you intently and wants you to know Him in a personal way. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how much you've sinned. God is more than willing and able to forgive you and to wash you of that sin when you turn from it and say, God, I need you in my life today. Everyone has sinned. Everyone has broken God's law. But there is forgiveness for everyone as well. And so if you're here today and you want to receive God's love by making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you'd have enough guts to just lift your hand up high, I want to pray with you and introduce you to a loving God, not a God that's going to judge you. Your judgment went on Christ on the cross so that you could receive God's love and forgiveness. If you're here and you want to be sure, if you lift your hand up high, I want to pray with you and introduce you to this God who loves you with every part of His being. Anybody at all? Want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I want to encourage you again, folks. Bring the lost. I know that we want to win them out there, but let's bring them in here. They'll have an opportunity, amen, to hear the word, to hear the gospel, and in order to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Praise God. I'd like to ask Pastor Brett and Linda to come, and Brother Tom, if you have time, and Brother John, why don't you come down if there's need. We don't know how many will come up, but if you need prayer before you leave today, and you know what, how about prayer in the area of healing? You know, we haven't had a healing service in a while, but we did it in a way today, didn't we? It's God's will for us to be well. And I can't explain all the reasons why we don't always receive it. But you know what? Trying to explain it sometimes just brings unbelief anyway. But you know what? I know that we always ought to shoot for the bullseye of the target of healing. And even though we aim for the bullseye, we may not always hit it. We may hit the outer edge. We may hit a couple of rings in from the middle or whatever. But you know what? Let's keep shooting for the bullseye. Amen? Amen. Because God cares and God loves us. And just like you're shooting for the bullseye to be holy and live free from sin that you've been redeemed from, let's believe God to be more and more sickness free too by faith. Amen? Amen. Because He wants us well. He wants us well because He loves us. He loves you with every part of His being. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Thanks for coming today. I pray you receive something. And again, if you need prayer before you go, come on down and be prayed for. I'm going to ask Brother Tom, can I have you close us in prayer? And no, again, remember, Tuesday night prayer, we're here at 5:30. Thursday night for the letter of James, we're making a lot of good progress. You're invited to come at 6:30. And Friday night, the power of a praying woman. We need folks praying, men and women. And praise God, I believe that's going to be a catalyst to help some other ladies start praying as well. Amen? God bless you now. We love you. Amen.
Father, we thank You and praise You. We give You all the honor, all the glory. We purpose to walk the love walk. Father, we just commit ourselves to walk this walk of love and just to be enlightened by the Word of God, just to receive truth as we've never received it before. And we just believe You for greater things that are coming in our future because we apply ourselves to the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.